do begin.
Hey, what is up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Today, my guest is Tori. She is the host of Chicana Chisme and radio personality on 98.9 KLMO in San Antonio, Texas. And today she joins me to talk about her career in the Navy and the experiences that broadened and changed her perspectives on what it ultimately means to be a person of color in the U.S. Outside of that, there was a few topics that some of you may find a little triggering, I guess, but I just want to kind of make something clear right now. This particular podcast has never really been pro-police, pro-military, pro-government. It's actually more of a pro-discussion, I guess, if you want to label it somehow. But it's about talking about ideas and perspectives, because ultimately, at the end of the day, all of our experiences are biased, and all of our opinions are also going to be biased unless we really work at chipping away at that and trying to find a balance between what we hear, what we see, and what we actually want to believe as, I don't know, truth. But nonetheless, I completely understand that a lot of these organizations, particularly the like police and military, they're not necessarily set up to work as they should, and maybe some of their origins aren't necessarily the cleanest origins in history, as we've learned throughout decades of information and brutality and all this. But you know what? I think at the end of the day, if these systems were to work as intended, in terms of what they stand for morally, I think they are made to uphold a greater good. The people in charge of those organizations or institutions obviously have not been held accountable to what has been going on. And as we move forward, we need to start holding these representatives we need to start holding them accountable for their actions, because at the end of the day, actions have consequences, and whether they're affecting them directly or others, nonetheless, it is something that is happening in our reality. So I think as we move forward, we should keep an open mind on how we want to move, because it's up to us to ultimately make changes in these systems in a way that is going to be progressive, to say the least, rather than just being chaotic. But I hope you guys enjoy the episode, and keep an open mind. Always keep challenging yourself, learning new things, and you know that's ultimately just going to be better for you, better for each of us. And the more we can each grow individually, it becomes more of a collective thing. So let's keep going and just have fun, but also don't be a dick. Today's music is brought to you by Tlatuani P with his song Art of Expression. I highly recommend you follow him on YouTube and Spotify. If you want to know more of a personal updates, keep news updates, follow him on Instagram. Nonetheless, I hope you guys enjoy the episode, and we'll see you guys in a couple of weeks. Sipping on water to clean my system, clear the mind, manifest my vision, my vision. What you expecting when I share my awful mode of expression? Listen, answer to everything, just depending the question. How you construct something so beautiful without the vision? I'm here to listen to nature, not argue with these bitches. They only mad when the love run out. Nobody really see the pee till the guns come out. I'm rolling weed by myself till it all runs out. It's quarantine in this bitch, but we gotta come out. Blah. Dropping like an eagle on the hunt. Silver claws of a puma, show you that I'm raw. Teeth of a tiger jaw, snatch you with a crunch. Like alligator in the swamp, snatch you up for lunch. Check the velocity of the floor. That the one AP philosophy from the soul. Mathematics, algorithm, something you should know. When I'm expressing dimensions of my demons and soul. Hey, what is up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Social Primate Podcast. Today, I have a very special guest all the way from San Antonio, Texas. We have Tori, host of the Chicana Chisme Podcast. What's up, Tori?
Hey, how's it going?
Thank you for taking the time out of your day to join me in conversation.
No, thank you for having me.
For people who don't know about your show, do you mind giving us a little bit of background about what it's about?
So my podcast is Chicana Chisme, and I was in the Navy for 10 years, active duty. And during that time, I was always very, you know, pro-Latina. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been stationed everywhere. I was on the East Coast, I was on the West Coast, I was in the Midwest, and you know, I'm from Texas, so I'm from the South. And it was just so crazy how different everybody is depending on your location, like the food, the music, you know, the way they dress, their slang, their Spanish. So I thought that was pretty cool how, you know, when people think like Mexicans, they mm-hmm. think of this particular stereotype, right? So I thought it was kind of cool that people can hear all the different kinds of Mexican American, Chicano, however you identify yourself, stories. Because we're just normal people, you know, we're just brown.
Yeah, we get sprinkled around the country here and there, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I had the chance to listen to some of your episodes. Before I go a little deeper into that, you just started your podcast too, right? It was just this year.
Yeah, I started it in, I think, April, May.
That's basically like the beginning of COVID, like the first month or two. So
yeah,
like that's cool. I like the fact that you what was the idea behind it? Did you decide like right now was the good time to kind of just start getting it done?
Well, I actually had a podcast prior to this one. It was called The Hannah Talk, and I had it with two of my girlfriends, and we had it for about a year. But they're both moms. One of them has a business. The other, you know, is always running around. And we were just always having a hard time scheduling for the three of us when we had time.
Yeah.
You know, when they didn't have the kids, when they could escape, you know, to a quiet room. And so we just were having issues. And we had decided a little, well, kind of right when COVID hit, like, hey, we should start doing more episodes because a lot of people are going to be home more. They're going to, you know, want to explore different avenues of media.
Exactly.
And then, like I said, they're moms. And so then that's when, you know, all the kids started doing like the virtual schooling and everything. So they were kind of like, oh, we don't really have time, you know, and it was just always putting it off and stuff. So I was like, okay, well, if you guys don't mind, I'm just going to kind of do it myself. Because I wanted to take it in a different direction than what we were going in. And so they were like, okay. And that's what it did.
Nice.
So the Chicana Talk is new, but not the whole podcast as a whole.
Okay. So yeah, you had the chance to dip your feet in before.
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I mean, I had a similar experience. I had a podcast maybe like 3-4 years ago as well with a couple of my friends, but you know, everybody's different. So everybody's doing their own thing, like you mentioned. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, yeah, that's interesting. So, and at this point you're probably like, well, like 7-10 episodes deep.
Right now, I am at 14.
Oh, damn. That's okay. All right.
13, 14.
I need to learn how to count better.
I'm trying to think. I'm like, what number did I put on this last one? I think it was 13. I tried to, you know, the first podcast was definitely trial and error, right? And I'm sure you went through that same thing your first couple of years where you're kind of like, oh, this works, this doesn't work, blah, blah, blah. So when I started, I just wrote a list of things that I wanted to talk about, people that I was interested in. And I had recorded, quite a few at a time. So that way I didn't have to like rush it or anything. I've been trying to keep it as steady as I can. I mean, I definitely have more downtime now because, you know, I'm not in the calle, you know, drinking.
Yeah, right.
But so it's definitely, I'm just kind of like, I like it. I'm getting good responses so far. And, you know, I definitely want to keep putting out good content.
Yeah. I mean, and outside of the podcast, if I'm correct, correct me if I'm wrong, actually, are you like a host on a radio station too, right?
I am. We have a Tejano music radio station here in San Antonio. And I've been there for, well, it's a new station. They've been up for about a year and some change, and I've been with them for a year.
Oh, nice. I mean, did you have experience or did you kind of just want to like jump on it? Because I mean,
not at all. I had
you're broadcasting live, right?
Yeah. So like Tejano music is very exclusive. Not everybody likes Tejano because I was stationed in California for 5 years and they hate Tejano over there. You know, it's all about like banda, norteños, you know, stuff like that. So when I first joined the Navy, Tejano was kind of like my security blanket. Like whenever I was sad or I missed home, I would, you know, listen to Tejano. And the main station that was here in San Antonio, you know, they weren't getting as much, listeners like they were before, you know, because Tejano's not as big as it once was a few years back. And so they decided that they were going to change to like AM station. And they were even kind of, there was even talks about them like nixing it. And so I was so sad just because, you know, it was like my connection to home all those years, you know. And so one of my friends sent me this article and he was like, hey, this new radio station's opening up. And he's like, they're looking for DJs. You should apply, just as a joke, right? And I thought, oh, you know what? I should. They're brand new. They probably don't have people. And I had actually sent them a recording of my old podcast, me and the other girls.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And I was like, hey, I don't have any radio experience, but me and my girlfriends do a podcast. Maybe we could do separate episodes that you can put like as segments just to like fill time slots. And I didn't hear from them for like months. And then like 3 months later, they called and were like, do you want to come in? And I was like, sure. And, you know, they interviewed me. I had no experience. I was super nervous. I'm pretty sure I messed up. I think the only thing that saved me at the time, I don't look like it right now. I look like shit. But, you know, when I clean up, I look kind of cute. So I think that kind of saved me at the time. But, and I love it. I just, you know, I'm kind of their audience that they're looking for because, you know, with that genre of music, they want a younger generation who's listening to it to keep that music going, you know?
Right.
And I left Tejano. All of my friends that are my age left Tejano. So I kind of fit that demographic of the new music and who grew up on that music and still listens to it and still has many more years to listen to it. So it just worked out and I love it. It's only part-time. I do it once a week and then I do a bunch of community stuff for them because it's a small family-owned radio station. So I just call it my little passion project, but I love it. I don't get paid much, you know, but it's just something that's near and dear to my heart.
Are you the type of person who's able to like go up in front of a crowd of people and kind of talk?
I was not at first. Like I would shake whenever we would do concerts and I had to go up and talk to like introduce during the bands and stuff like that. But I guess I just did it so much now that I'm kind of like, ah, whatever.
You're all okay. You kind of grew comfortable doing it.
Yeah.
Not like me being here. I'm from LA. I mean, you know, my parents are from Mexico, but I've been here my whole life here. Mm-hmm. What is Tejano music? I mean, I'm oblivious to it, you know, but like so if you describe it, what would it?
So Tejano music is very similar to Norteño.
Uh-huh.
The only difference is that it has more of like more German mix to it. Like we have, I mean, I know we, you know, Norteño is a lot of accordion, but it also has kind of like a country style to it.
Okay.
And I think a couple of the instruments are different. The flow of the music is a little different. That's why I never understood why people in California didn't like it. I'm like, it sounds so similar.
I listened to some of the episodes and you're like, when you know, came here, people were about, I mean, the banda here is like big, you know, people are at least in my neighborhood every other weekend, even when they're not supposed to right now in COVID times, they're having bandas with their mask on and still, you know, doing their thing. But
yeah. And Tejanos hate banda. They hate it. Like the only people I ever hear that like banda or if they used to live in the valley, which is, you know, the border towns, or they're like from Mexico. Mm-hmm. That's the only time you ever hear that they like banda. I like banda now because I got so used to hearing it in Cali that now it grew on me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Tejanos hate banda. Like, it's so funny on the radio station if we play like, we try to do more of like a corrido, like Jenny Rivera, for instance. She kind of borderlines on like rancheras and norteños. And I've tried to like slip her in sometimes and I'll get like the older viejitos that's like, that's not Tejano. Okay,
they
my
know
bad.
They're calling it out? Yeah.
They do. The older generation, you know, they get so like angered about the smallest things. But yeah, I just always thought it was so funny how much the two hate the different music.
That's hilarious. I'm gonna have to check some out. I'm sure I've heard some. I just didn't know like the difference between like I guess the musical styles in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to check them out.
Yeah.
Now, like referring to that, like I'm assuming since you're doing broadcasting, that's live podcasting. You're doing pre-recording for the most part.
Yes.
Like I'm assuming it's a lot different in terms of what you can say, right? Like there's more.
Oh yeah, completely different. I have to definitely think about what I'm saying because. Mm-hmm. Just like you said earlier, you know, excuse me if I slip in a curse word, I am the worst with that. I can curse in church and not even realize that I said 20 F-bombs at once, you know?
Yeah.
But with terrestrial radio, the National Broadcasting System. Mm-hmm. They can fine you if you curse and stuff like that on the radio. Mm-hmm. So I had to be very, very careful what I say.
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it just slips out of me and I'm like, oh damn. Yeah. And I heard that can be somewhere in like the thousands or something. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think one time I said like chingao and my boss was like, Tori. And I was like, oh shit, I didn't even realize they said that. I'm sorry.
Oh, they regularly like, I guess Spanish too, then, right? I mean, mm-hmm.
Any language pretty much. But I was like, I'm sorry. I was like, I didn't even realize it because it was in Spanish. But yeah, so it's a big difference. You have to be very, you have to improv a lot. Mm-hmm. I try to write things down a lot because I'm not that great at my improv. I can tell that I've gotten better throughout this year. Mm-hmm. It is completely different. Cause when I'm recording, I don't feel that pressure knowing right. that I'm live. I know that I can edit it. I know that I can say whatever comes out of my mouth. It's not a big deal. But yeah, actual AM/FM radio is a whole different ballgame.
And so you've been Texas native since you were born, right?
Like
you're
born and raised.
Damn, that's crazy. Texas to me always seemed like such a faraway place here from LA. Like mm-hmm. it seemed like people would talk about it. It just seems more like Western, yeah. At least from what people refer to it here. You know, everybody's so used to like the life, the city life and all this
yeah.
stuff.
You know, and it's not at all. Yeah. It's funny though, because, you know, throughout the years, I always say like people swear we have like tumbleweeds, you know, yeah, just rolling through the middle of the street, which yeah. we don't, by the way. But yeah. And I always tell my friends in Cali, like y'all need to come down here. It really is not what you think. It, you know, especially with the Mexicanos, our traditions are still pretty heavy like it is over there. It definitely is a different style. You know, we're more country, we're a little more Americanized, but especially here in San Antonio, we're very heavy on our Mexican traditions.
Yeah.
But it's still, there's a lot to do and it's a slower pace.
Ah, okay.
So
yeah.
You kind of like have time to enjoy your days. It's not like go, 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 go the way yeah. like LA is.
It's funny that you mentioned every time I'm in the street and my heart just like, I feel like I have to be somewhere, even if I know I don't have to be nowhere.
Uh-huh.
It's just this rush that you get.
Yeah.
But I mean, and it's interesting because over the last few months, I've heard a lot of people like start talking about Texas. Like a lot of people are I don't know, trying to move out there. Yeah. You know, and like, again, I've never been one to kind of look into the whole idea of going to Texas, but the fact that people are talking about it, it's just interesting that they're moving away from California to go to, you know, populate a whole different city. But at the end of the day, I'm hoping it doesn't become a whole transplant, kind of like how here in the city it is, you know, like mm-hmm. there's just people who are coming from different parts to reside here, but nobody's originally Angeleno, air quotes.
Well, Austin, which is like about an hour away, is pretty much a second California.
Oh, damn, really?
Yeah, like pretty, like everybody that I've met that has moved is all mm-hmm. California. Anybody that I've heard has moved from California, moved to Austin. And I guess because it's still a big city, there's a lot to do. It's a college town. So, you know, there's Sixth Street is there, which is pretty much like, you know, just blocks and blocks of bars and clubs. Mm-hmm. And it's cheaper here. Like when I lived in California, I lived in Oxnard. I was stationed over in Port Hueneme. And what I paid for my one bedroom apartment there is what my mortgage is for a 3-bedroom house here.
God damn. That is crazy. I mean, but I will think like, you know, the more people that show up, I mean, the market value will probably start going up too, right? I mean.
Oh, no, definitely. And I can see the big difference from when I originally left, because I went to boot camp in 2009 mm-hmm. and I came back here in 2017. Back here in San Antonio, and you can just tell the difference. It's not huge in comparison to, you know, California.
Yeah.
But you definitely see the prices have gone up.
Now going back real quick to your podcast, like what was the idea behind all that for you? Like, did you kind of, were you raised to kind of be indoctrinated into that whole culture, or was it something you kind of had to figure out as you grew older?
My family is very Hispanic.
Very Hispanic. Yeah, which is not a bad thing, obviously. Yeah, I feel like my parents weren't. Like, they definitely, I mean, there was only just them two, you know, so they're kind of disassociated from it at some point. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's why I ask, because sometimes I, you know, I'm kind of, in a way, searching for a connection to that. And mm-hmm. I have family in Mexico, but there's no knowledge of, you know, real ancestry stuff.
Right. So, the way I would describe it is, I really think Mexican-American is its completely own, I wouldn't say race, but mm-hmm. for lack of better words, race, because I'm third generation, you know, my Spanish is you know, but my mom and my dad, they know Spanish. My grandparents, they know Spanish. Their parents only spoke Spanish because they came from Mexico. And while we are Americanized in the sense of, you know, we've aspired to be, you know, middle class. We've all been determined to be educated. Not that that has anything to do with being Mexican, but I guess, you know, more Americanized, you know, what the stereotypical type of American would be, I guess you could say, for lack of better words. But we're still very, like, you know, brown pride. We're very, you know, we love the music. We love the dress. We know our, you know, the history. You know, we're very aware of where we come from, but also where we're going, if that makes sense.
No, it does. I mean, I would say probably the last 2 years or so. No, probably like 5 years. I've been trying to, you know, just collect more information about not just where my parents come from, for, like, you know, your whole genealogy stuff, for the same reason that me, I'm technically first generation here. Mm-hmm. So it's a whole, you know, trying to find the identity between, are you American? Because they say you go to Mexico and they're like, oh, you're too American. You know, you're not Mexican enough, even if you kind of, you know, look like them.
Yeah.
You come over here and you're immediately either Mexican or some sort of, you know, X and X and X, whatever it falls under.
Right.
It kind of feels weird to find an identity when you don't even know yourself or where you're coming from, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you mentioned in your podcast that, you know, you've been to different parts and you've seen, like, these different pockets of air quote brown people, and they're just living in different parts of the country, and they all each in their own still have their different cultures and the way that they do things differently. It's very interesting, because if you're stuck in one place for, you know, all your life, it's kind of easy to kind of just think that that's the reality of everybody else's experiences.
Oh, most definitely. Especially being back here in Texas, I see how small-minded many people are. Mm-hmm. And it's not their fault. They've never left aside to go on a 2-3 day vacation, right? They've never lived anywhere to where they've really experienced what the outside world is like. Because, you know, tourist areas don't count, because, you know, of course everyone's going to be nice to you. You know, everyone's relaxed. Everyone's trying to have a good time. It's different when you actually live there and are in the mix.
You start getting integrated to those communities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how that started off with you? You said you went to the Navy for, you were there for 10 years, right? Where was that decision? Something that kind of, were you ever driven to join the military at a young age?
Yeah, well, my uncle, well, my great uncle, technically my grandma's a little brother. He was in the Army, and I was always so fascinated with him being in the Army. He retired as a sergeant major. And I just always thought he was so cool. You know, he was a Green Beret. He was a tunnel rat in Vietnam. He was Special Forces. Like, I just always thought he was such a badass. And I always wanted to do that. And in high school, I attempted to join the Army, but this was 2005. I mean, when the war in Iraq started, it was 2003. So 2005, I mean, you were hearing about deaths constantly. There was not a day go by that you didn't hear about something. And my mom was like, you are not joining the Army, homegirl. And I was like, man. But I had horrible grades in school. I didn't want to go to college because I didn't think I was smart. And you know, so I was like, ay, señora. But I wasn't 18 yet, so I needed her to sign something, you know, to sign my life over. And she was like, you're insane. So I tried the college thing, you know, and I was just kind of lost. I didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, I had left my mom's cause I wanted to be independent, you know, mm-hmm. and, there was a point where I was working like three jobs and attempting to still do community college. And I was living everywhere. I lived with friends. I lived with my family. I lived with a boyfriend at one time. And I was like, okay, I need to figure out something with myself because this isn't working. And one of my really good friends at the time, her little brother had joined the Navy. And I was like, you know what? That's what I should do. I should join the Air Force because the Air Force basic training is here in San Antonio. Mm. And I was like, oh, I'll still be close to home, but I can, you know, do something with my life. And here we are 11 years later.
Damn. That is crazy. Yeah. I mean, I just remember in high school, you know, the people who were recruiting that come to school and they're just trying to meet up with you. Yeah. I mean, definitely a few times with what some, I forgot what I did. I gave him a number, the name or something to one of the Marine recruiters. And I just did it because my friends were doing it. I was like, all right, sure, I'll give him my name. But I was never like inclined to go and stuff. And he showed up to my house and I was like, Dad, tell him I'm not home. He goes outside and says, hey, he doesn't want to do this. And then I was like, no, that's not what you're not supposed to. I didn't seem to tell him that. Just say, right. Tell him home. But, you know, anyways, for you, like, okay, so your mom was kind of against it, you know, when you initially told her that you thought you were crazy and stuff. Mm-hmm. Was that, I mean, did she have like other expectations of you in that sense? Like,
to be honest with you, I don't know. Cause she knew I never got good grades. You know, she wasn't dumb. I was always a hard worker. I got my first job when I was 15. I never called in. I always got extra hours. So she knew I was a hard worker and she knew that, you know, I was going to do something. But I think at the time she just kind of figured like, you're still young. You're just figuring yourself out, which luckily she was like that. She wasn't a mom who was like, you need to go to college. She would have loved for me to right away. But at the same time, I think she kind of understood that I needed to find myself and figure out for myself what exactly it is I wanted to do.
Yeah, I think that's interesting because, I mean, for the most part, at least a lot of the people that I know, they're, you know, a lot of their parents can be pretty old school in the sense of, you know, they have certain expectations because they made certain sacrifices to come to, you know, a country for better opportunities for their offspring. But then it's like they're not meeting those expectations. And, you know, there's this whole pressure, cultural pressure that or societal pressure that's like, you know, bestowed upon these people, especially Latinas, brown women, you know, for the most part, they have higher expectations than the men do in terms of what they should be doing with their lives. You know, like guys get off easy. You know, I do something wrong. Like my parents are like, oh, right. That's menso.
Right.
You know, but my sister does it. And they're like, oh, my God, this is the end of the world, you know, type of thing.
Oh, too funny. Yeah, that sounds about right, actually, because my little brother still doesn't know what he's doing with his life. He's still trying to figure it out. But no, I think I honestly kind of think that I'm glad she didn't have those super, super high expectations because I feel like it let me set the bar for myself.
Yeah. And where you wanted to, let you set the limit where you wanted to, right? In a way. Right. The whole Navy, I assume you were traveling like all over the place, right? How was that as an experience? I mean, is there something memorable that stands out?
My first duty station was in Boston, Massachusetts, and that was a huge culture shock. I had never left Texas before having joined the Navy, and I get there and it's cold. It's a faster pace of life. There were no Mexicans around. I mean, it was a culture shock to say the least. When I was younger, I've tried to get better as I've gotten older, but when I was younger, my defense mechanism was to be mean. So everyone just thought I was a bitch.
Yeah.
But that was just my way of like protecting myself because I was in an unknown place. I didn't really know anybody. I was new. I was unfamiliar with the area. It was a great experience, but yeah, it was definitely a culture shock. I ended up getting a part-time job while I was there. And the girls that I met at the part-time job, they're all Dominican. And so I was kind of like, all right, this is close, you know, some sort of Latina.
Yeah.
And man, they could not be any more different from Mexicans. But I had a good time. I definitely learned about, you know, Afro-Latinas and the Caribbean Latinos. It was an experience to say the least. But yeah, I mean, that was Definitely. I mean, I don't know why I still expected, you know, for them to play like Ramon Ayala Tragos Amargos at the end of the night at the club, yeah. Which they didn't. You know, I remember going to a club the first time and asking for two drinks, and it was like a house liquor. It wasn't even anything expensive. And I bought two, one for me and my girlfriend. He was like, that'll be $18. And I'm looking at him, I'm like, I just got two. He's like, yeah. And I was like, what kind of alcohol did you put in here? And he's like, the house alcohol. And I was like, what? And I remember going to my friend, I was like, these are $18. And she's like, yeah, that's about right. And I'm like, in Texas, we have $2 Thursdays. What do you mean?
Oh, you know? Damn, that's a big difference.
So I'm over here thinking I'm getting ripped off. And, you know, that's when I found the culture shock of the cost of living. Depending on where you're at. Yeah. So that was my first huge. And nobody ever thought I was Mexican. Everybody thought I was Salvadorian, Guatemalan, Puerto Rican. And whenever I would tell them I was Mexican, they were like, ¿Qué estás haciendo aquí? And I would tell them, oh, you know, I'm in the Navy. And they're like, oh, okay. I mean, there was barely any Mexicans. It was all like Guatemalan, Salvadorian, Puerto Ricans, Dominicans. So the fact that I was there, they were like, huh?
They're just tripping out, yeah. That's what's crazy. Like they, you know, they gravitate to certain areas, you know, but you know, it's because it's just been happening for years at this point, you know, and it's just, that's where it's going to keep going. Like, right, I think, I mean, supposedly there's like a whole percentage thing. I think by 2050, I think they say more like Latino and Hispanics will be the majority. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude, of course, you know, they're expanding all over the place, you know, and we're getting stronger.
We're everywhere.
Yeah. And now, I mean, for you being in the Navy, was that like were you more like the what is it called? I don't know. I guess not infantry, because infantry is more like like army, right? Like you're in the front lines. Like in Navy, what is that considered? If you're like, I mean, I guess you're. I don't even know.
That would be more of our special forces. We're not necessarily on the front line per se, because we're on ships, you know. Mm-hmm. But I was actually in a combat battalion. And I'm a pusher. I do supplies. I have a government credit card, and I'm the one who buys all of our stuff. You know, I manage the budget. And I deal with all the money, you know, the yearly money that we get and all that good stuff. So I'm at a computer the majority of the time. I'm not even going to lie. And that's the thing I think people don't realize either about the military is anything that you can do in a regular job, you can do in the military. We have journalists, we have photographers, we have cooks, we have firefighters, we have police, you know, like any and every kind of job that you can think of is in the military.
Like you said, like this is something a lot of people don't know, you know, like at least I mean, I know some people and I know they had different jobs, but I wasn't aware that there was like this whole broad section until they mentioned it. And I think there's a lot of things right now in this time that get a lot of bad rep, you know, but there are things that are still necessary, you know, military being the one. I know there's a whole thing with like military industrial complex and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if it's not you, you're going to have somebody else coming in here whenever they want, you know. And
right. Oh, that, yeah. I've heard it a lot throughout the years.
Yeah, you know. And, you know, the other thing, like the whole police thing too, you know, that there shouldn't be no police or, you know, completely defined, which I can see both sides, you know, right. But ultimately there has to be order. That's what you need. You know, that's the top priority, I guess. I think a lot of the people, because they don't see, this is where I don't want that conversation to get all weird and stuff, you know, but like. Mm-hmm. At least from what I've realized is that the United States is a very, a lot of us are very it's about individualism, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of more, you know, you hear the word nationalism and you're already starting to think about like North Korea or something crazy where there's dictator and all that stuff, you know? But the whole idea is that their people are not, in a sense, patriotic, air quotes here, you know? And that's why everybody's kind of like, because we have the freedom of speech, we can just say like whatever we want.
Yeah. And I don't think it's that, but just like you said, everybody wants to be an individual. No one's looking out for each other. No one's really like a community. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
If you're, people are kind of like, oh, well, I don't care about them. Like, how does this affect me? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Not how does it affect everybody as a big picture?
Right.
And I think, yeah, that's definitely has a lot to do with why, you know, we are the way we are. We're greedy. We're greedy motherfuckers.
Yeah, for real. Amen. Amen to that. And it's true. You know, again, it's like, I think this whole pandemic stuff, again, people can have both sides of their story. But at the end of the day, it's like everybody's just really, when we should be looking out for each other and all of us, we're really just looking out for ourselves. And you'll see it sometimes with the people who don't want to, or just make things harder for people who are trying to follow protocol.
Right.
You know? And it's like, come on, you know, and at that point, like, you really got to think about what the bigger picture is. And I think that's, in a sense, a downside to the culture that we've made for ourselves as a country. Because of that whole individualistic mindset, this is where we are right now. And everybody wants to be, I'm right, you're wrong, instead of trying to really unify behind all this stuff. And I would imagine that it's difficult for somebody, you know, in the military who sees this kind of stuff and is like, come on, like, we're doing this for you guys. Like, come on, stop fighting about random petty stuff. Not petty stuff, but issues that can be, ultimately, really, if you really want to discuss about them, I think you can get move forward in a sense.
Right. The one thing that comes to my mind really is like this whole situation with Vanessa Guillen.
Oh, yes.
Oh my God, I was fighting with everybody and their fucking mother when this whole thing happened. Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm still in, I'm just reserves now. And this year was my 11th year. And I had a great career. You know, I was lucky to have had great friends. I was lucky to have had good leadership. Of course, you know, you meet shitty people, that's everywhere. But, you know, I really did have a good career, and I felt so bad that I saw so many women's stories about things that happened to them. So many people that had such a bad experience, you know, and so, but I've also seen that other side too. You know, I've seen men be pendejos. I've seen women being pendejos. You know, I've seen the racism. I've seen the sexism. And it's just like, you know, it's so hard to, where obviously I'm against those things and I want things to change. I've been pretty active with trying to do things around here in regards to stuff with the military and changing that, you know, military sexual trauma culture. But at the same time, I love this organization. You know, it's done well for me. It's put me through school. It's bought me my house. I've traveled. You know, I've gotten to do so many things that I never would have had the opportunity to do before. You know, and I've seen the good that we can do also. So it's so hard because I get it. I'm young. I'm woke. I'm completely aware of what's going on. I'm in the know. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, okay, but it's not as evil as you guys think it is. There's, you know, not to excuse things that are going on, but, you know, we can take care of this without bashing this. You know what I mean? And it has been, it's been hard because I've seen so many people that were like, I would never let my daughter join. This is why blah, 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 da, 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 A, B, C, and D. This is why brown people shouldn't join. This is why girls shouldn't join. And it's like, okay, so you'd rather have an all white male military? For sure you wouldn't.
Right. Yeah, I mean, of course, yeah, you don't want that. I mean, at the end of the day, you want to be represented in some, in a lot of different ways, you know, especially if you're, you know, military, you want to go. I know people sometimes they're like, no, you don't want, you shouldn't go because this and this and this, you know, like, okay, like, I understand. It personally, it wasn't for me, but I respected the decisions of the friends that I knew that went, you know, and did the work that they had to do. You know, but again, it's about finding that balance because, you know, somebody hears conversations where we're agreeing that like, oh, you do need some military, you do need police. And they're like, okay, these people are already like, you're already labeled as something. But again, it's like you said, you could be informed, you could be, you know, woke, but at the same time, you can be reasonable and realistic about the way things are, you know?
Right.
And at the end, it's circumstance.
I think people don't realize that you can still criticize something, but also want to make it better.
Yeah.
Without one or the other. You know, people want to be so extreme with things where it's like, okay, yes, these bad things are this, which is why you don't like it, but why, instead of completely erasing that, try to make it better? Obviously, it's not going to happen overnight.
Of course.
You know, but things just have to be done sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, as long as everybody works at chipping away at what is that foundation and molding it into something different, ultimately it's going to happen. But like you said, I think because of the culture as well, because it's more about instant gratification, it's about like you press a shop button now and now Amazon brings your stuff the same day. It gets faster and faster. We get used to the whole idea that what we want is available now.
Right.
Like these kind of changes to happen fast. Not that they can't, but at the same time, you know, if you move too fast, you're going to miss a lot of the things in between, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. That's why we like this whole protest stuff. I've been to a few. I haven't been to all of them, of course. And I don't think somebody needs to go to all of them to make themselves believe that they believe in that cause or make others believe that cause.
Right.
At the same time, it's about the action that you're taking outside of those protests, you know, because a lot of people think just by showing up, that's it. You're done. You go home by the end of the day and you've made your change. But it's
right. You're like, I contributed.
Exactly. Yeah. You raise your hand. You're like, I'm done for today. And you're done for the next year until something big happens again.
Right. Yeah. And I always tell people, you know, these big changes start in your community. You know, like I've always been big on volunteering. I've done CASA, which is a court-appointed special advocates for like children in foster care. I've done Big Brother, Big Sister. You know, I've worked with like the Boys and Girls Club, you know, just those little things that, you know, help in your community, things that people don't realize end up being bigger for that person that you're helping, and they can contribute something. And, you know, it kind of goes on and on and on. Like, yeah, I can go and protest and, you know, make it seem like they're bigger numbers, but what are you doing in your community to that's going to eventually add up? Because those little things do add up. You know, we need, you know, people see that other people have compassion, that they have empathy, that, you know, there are people who do care about others. And that, I think that's where those little things add up.
Yeah. And I think I've said this in the podcast before, but I do think, you know, how like there's all these revolutions throughout history, you know, industrial revolution, agricultural, you know, so on and so forth. Like I want to think that in the next couple of years, we'll see some sort of conscious revolution. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where people are kind of heading, but they're just, you know, right now, again, the extremities are either both left or right. People are just kind of shifting back and forth. And I think it's going to be at a breaking point where everybody's going to move past all that stuff. And I don't know. It just seems like, you know, outside of the media, there's a lot of things that are just being put in front of people that make it seem like everything's falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's easy to feel that way if you keep consuming that type of news. But at the same time, I think there's people, you know, people who make conversations like this happen, like yourself. You know, I'm doing it here in LA. And as far as I knew, I mean, I knew there was other podcasts outside of LA, of course, but being able to communicate and seeing people that in different areas also have these train of thoughts is, you know, gives me and solidifies that mentality that there is a movement of thought that is coming.
Mm-hmm.
There's pockets, but people are still kind of getting the word out, you know, or finding the word. And I think it's cool. I see it happening very soon.
No, yeah, I do too. And, you know, it is nice to hear other people that are like-minded who can at least, because I hate when people say, why do you argue with people? You're never going to change anybody's mind.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody's close-minded either. You know what I mean? Like if I have an argument with somebody, I can genuinely intake what they're saying, process their point of view. And I've changed my mind about things before because I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And I process it. I think about it. You know, obviously there's some things that I'm never going to agree with people about, but, and unfortunately not everybody's like that. You see so many people who, even on like Facebook, I'm sure you've seen tons of times where people just repost random stuff and they're like, oh my God, 2020. And I'm like, did you read that article? Because yeah. That's from 2016.
Yep. I've seen it many times.
Yes. And you're like, why are you spreading this paranoia for people when you literally could have just clicked the damn link?
Exactly. Yeah. And just really pay attention to those details. You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I, the same thing I've, I had, there was this thing that happened. Now, if I'm wrong, people, please correct me, you know, but there was this case a few weeks ago, I think two police officers here in LA got rushed. They got shot, right? Mm-hmm. They both survived. But I think one of them that got shot was like a 31-year-old female. Mm-hmm. And supposedly this girl who got shot was somebody who was involved in some shooting of some kid. It's like some security guard in LA as well. There's all these other details, but apparently she was involved with the one who showed up to see what happened, and she was kind of smirking about it on camera. So supposedly it was her who got rushed. Now, there's a lot of people, and I think I've confirmed for myself that that's not the case. Mm-hmm. That completely wrong person, and they were just trying to justify the fact that because she did that, she was caught smirking, she deserved to get shot. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
people's a dream.
Yeah, it's like. And even if that was her, the fact that they're saying that is completely ridiculous.
But right.
The fact that it wasn't her and they're spreading that information without even doing the research to find out whether or not that is that person, it's as ridiculous as something you hear from the opposite side of whatever your political landscape is, you know?
Right. And I heard about that. I know exactly what you're talking about. I think there was even protesters that were there at the hospital, like saying that they hoped they would die.
Yep.
And I'm like, how is an eye for an eye? Like, it you don't even know if these people, it's not even a proper eye for an eye. An eye for an eye would be like getting that exact person who did whatever, not just going out and randomly, you know, picking somebody because of what they're wearing. Like, people just baffle me. Like,
yeah, no, the whole thing too, you know, again, it's like, again, I see it in both ways. You know, I have conversation with both mentalities of some people who agree with the people who are outside of the hospital. And it's like, dude, that's not the same. Like you said, it's not the same thing, first of all. And second, it's like the fact that you're just standing there to stop these people from potentially living just because based on something that they may or not have been involved in, it's still, you know, it's not up to you. You're not the executioner in all of this, you know?
Right.
And in the other sense, it's like, I had a conversation with a coworker probably a few weeks ago, where he's saying like, oh, well, that's why these people deserve to get shot. Like referring to, you know, people who get pulled over or stopped for whatever traffic violation. That's why they deserve to get shot, because they're the ones reaching too fast. And it's like, dude, that's a stupid train of thought too, because somebody shouldn't be, just because somebody's reaching too fast for something. I understand that there is cases where people get hurt when, you know, somebody's reaching into the car, they pull out a gun and shoot the cop, you know, whatever. There is those cases, they exist. But at the same time, the person reaching into the can shouldn't feel like their life is being threatened at any point.
Right.
You know? So that's that balance, like really trying to be reasonable about the argument that you're having.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that a lot too. People are like, well, just comply.
Yeah.
It was a speeding ticket, you know, something so simple. And you're like, no. Like, that's so stupid, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, it is just so silly, you know? And it's easy to see why people feel that way. And, you know, I'm not anti-police, but at the same time, I definitely think that shit needs to change. You know, I've had a domestic violence incident, and the cop, like, smirked. He thought it was funny, you know? He probably thought it was just, you know, two Latinos having problems, that I was going to take him back anyway. So why were they here? You know, they didn't give a shit. You know, I literally went to go file a restraining order in my Navy uniform, because this was before I got out that this happened. Got denied.
Damn.
You know, and I'm like 5 foot, 120, and homeboy was like 6'1", 2 something. They were like, well, if he comes back and, you know, does something, you know, call us. I'm like, pues ya pa que, I'm going to be dead.
Yeah, that's exactly, oh my God.
You know, like, what do you mean? Yeah. So, I mean, just like not all Black and Hispanic people are bad. I know not all police officers are bad. I know there are some that genuinely, you know, want a change, who do that because they definitely want it to make their community better. Mm-hmm. But I also think that there's some people that are fucked up.
Yeah, that is very true.
You know, and things do need to change, and, you know, they do need to maybe restructure certain things, and, you know, they do need to definitely with a fine tooth comb, go over their policies and their regulations and mm-hmm. things of that nature. That's most definitely for sure.
Yeah, of course. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the policies should be, in my opinion, upgraded to the current social time we're in. You know, not something based off the fucking 60s or the 50s or something, you know? Mm-hmm. It should be updated to reflect the community that it's serving, you know? Right. At least that's me. But, you know, we can all hope.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're at that time. Tori, thank you again so much for joining me on the podcast. I had a great time. If people want to hear your show, what is the best way to reach? I know you're on Spotify.
I am. I'm pretty much on every platform. Buzzsprout, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and I think all like the smaller apps fall under iTunes, I believe. Uh-huh. So like CastBox, things of that nature. So you can find me there. My Instagram is Chicana Chisme Podcast. My Facebook is Chicana Chisme TX. And yeah.
It sounds like you got all of them.
I'm like, what else do I have? I think that's about it.
Yeah, well, if you don't, we'll add it on.
Right. I can only have so much social media because forget it. I'm already, I look at my phone way too much.
Yeah, that's, so it's always good to minimize it, right?
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, Tori, thank you again for joining me. I hope you enjoy the rest of your night and, you know, have a good one.
Awesome. Sounds good. All right. Well, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
You too. Take care.
All right, you too, bye.
Call me another for my brothers and sisters. We in this together, but we divided by the system. Sipping on water to clean my system. Clear the mind, manifest my vision, my vision. What you expecting when I share my awful mouth expression? Listen, answer to everything, just depending the question. How you construct something so beautiful without the vision? I'm here to listen to nature, not argue with these bitches. They only mad when the love run out. Nobody really see the beat till the guns come out. I'm rolling weed by myself till it all runs out. It's quarantine in this bitch, but we all come out. Blah. Dropping like an eagle on the hunt. Silver claws of a puma, show you that I'm raw. Teeth of a tiger jaw, snatch you with a crunch. Like alligator in the swamp, snatch you up for lunch. Check the velocity of the floor. That the 1AP philosophy from the soul. Mathematics, algorithm, something you should know. When I'm expressing dimensions of my demons and soul.